Please join me in the prayer for understanding God's word. God, who speaks, your law is perfect, reviving the soul. Your commandment is clear, enlightening the eyes. May your spirit illuminate this word, that our eyes may be opened and our souls revived. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our reading today is from Matthew 21, verses 33 through 46. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent the slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves, beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." And then Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing. It is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruit of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds, because the crowds regarded him as a prophet. Amen. The word of the Lord for the people of God.
I thank our sister in Christ for helping us to continue on this journey of faith. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, loving God, for speaking once again, for creating, for being at work. Thank you for your love behind it all, and through it all, and in it all. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Johnstown, Pennsylvania is noted for one particular thing, really, throughout its history. Floods. In fact, the internet supplier in Johnstown, Pennsylvania is known as Flood City. It's known for its floods and the destruction, certainly, and the devastation. However, the floods, after they recede, left some of the most fertile ground you can imagine. Wonderful ground for planting things. And so, as we were living there, it was my idea to plant tomato bushes in that ground. Tomato bushes. And as I am apt to do, I just didn't do it. I overdid it. I thought if one is good, 20's even better. Not thinking that each tomato bush produces more than one tomato. You know, I mean, I get excited and look at this and man, this looks fantastic. And people are going to come and take pictures of this for home and garden or good housekeeping and things like that. Wonderful. Well, we had so many tomatoes, which you would think was a blessing, but your pastor would kind of walk up that walk and look up and see more tomatoes hanging there, and I would think, oh no, what did I do? Because if you don't take off the tomatoes, they rot, right? And then you have a real mess. But the blessing of having that many tomatoes is that they make the best tomato sandwiches. Anybody ever have a tomato sandwich? You got that really good bread, healthy whole wheat bread. You slice that tomato. Is your mouth watering right now? Mine is. It's juicy. It's not like these dry things that sometimes we get out here. And you slice it down and you put it on there, and just to keep it healthy, you put that much mayonnaise on the bread also, because you need that mayonnaise to hold the tomatoes in place. You know what I'm talking about? And salt and pepper and some cheese. No, it's just a tomato sandwich. That's all we're going to put on it. But it's fantastic. It's excellent. The other blessing from having that many tomatoes and having those delicious tomatoes is that you have an opportunity to share them, don't you? In fact, you want people to take them. There was a movie out years ago called Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, and that's what we felt because they were everywhere surrounding us. And so you want people to take them, and you take them over to the church. Hey, if you're serving as a pastor, yeah, go ahead and take it. Isn't that kind of the pastor? No, he just wants to get rid of them. Take some. Living as the body of Christ. Living as the community of faith. Living as those who are redeemed and forgiven because of the cross means that we share out of the abundance that God blesses us with. Amen? One of the truths of this particular passage today about the vineyard is that we are called to not only be good stewards and to understand that as God has blessed us, then we bless as we are the body of Christ. We have been blessed, certainly, through salvation. We have been blessed through what God has done for us through Jesus, our namesake, on the cross. And so we are called to take care of what God has given us, understanding that it's not really ours, but it's God's, and it belongs to God all along. So if it belongs to God, it's not ours to kind of keep. It's not ours to hoard. It's ours to share. The scripture passage is very clear that the tenants, the people of God, if you will, who have been given this vineyard, provided everything has been done for them, God places them, the landowner is God, right there to take care of it and to be good stewards, and they mismanage it. And what happens is that whenever God sees that they are mismanaging it, God sends people to remind them that they are to serve in the name of Jesus. They are to share. It's not theirs to hoard. The blessings of God are not theirs to hold on to keep to themselves. It's there for them to share. God sends representatives. In this story, it's quite dramatic, isn't it? Because they're killed. And then God sends more messengers to try to get their attention. They're killed also. And then God, the landowner, there's one and the same, sends his son. And who is the son? Jesus. He's killed. Now, whenever Jesus says, what do you think is going to happen to the tenants? It's not Jesus offering a pronouncement, is it? It's the tenants who recognize, boy, we got it wrong. The people who have been blessed, the body of Christ, the church, who have hoarded more than shared, who have closed themselves more than opened themselves, who have thought that it was all about them rather than all about God. Whenever people recognize that, that, my friends, gets your attention. And you realize that you've strayed far, far from the gospel. This morning, we gather once again at the table of grace. This is not anything that we have done. How appropriate that we would be thinking about a vineyard and we would gather around the table of communion as Christians around the world are doing right now and throughout this day. We gather at this table understanding and being reminded that God is the source of grace, so we are forgiven. We gather around this table as the tenants, if you will, understanding that God has given us things to share. We gather around this table understanding that we are in this together. Brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe coming from different places, maybe looking a little bit different, maybe dressing a little bit different, but we come from different places and yet we are united by the cross of Jesus. As we gather at this table, we understand this morning taking that body and that blood that we are redeemed, saved, healed, not because of anything that we have done, but because of what God has done for us through Jesus. Let's keep in mind today as we come forward to the table of how God has blessed us. I'd like you to just be thinking about that. If those who will be serving communion would come forward at this time, let's keep in mind what God has blessed us with in our life that we can share to point towards Him. Now, certainly, you may come to the table and think, well, there's not a whole lot that I can share. I'm in need of healing. I'm in need of God's grace. I'm at a place where I don't know that I can share. No, you can. It doesn't have to be anything elaborate. It doesn't have to be anything dramatic. But each and every one of us is one of those tenants. And if God has given us all that we need and blessed us, then we can share with others as well. So as we come forward to the table, let us come forward with an attitude of abundance, not scarcity. Ready to be God's church in an exciting and powerful way. How is God blessing you? How will you share that with others? Jesus, later on after this, he tells his story. He gathered with his friends again. And he said, "This is my body broken for you." Extraordinary words, and yet we receive them once again. Broken for you, in other words, abundantly given to you. You are now my body in the world. You are my body in the world. Abundantly present. This is the body of Christ, broken for the people of God, and we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. And after the supper, more extraordinary words, because Jesus said, "This is my blood shed for you." It's not about you feeling worthy to serve in my name. It's not about you feeling ready to serve in my name. It's about you simply responding in faith. Because of my blood, you are forgiven. You're redeemed. You are given new life. As the people of God, we receive this as a reminder of new life, hope, and forgiveness because of what God is doing in our lives already. The blood of Christ shed for the people of God, and we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. After the communion stewards receive the elements, the ushers will be directing you to come forward. This is an open table. That means all people are welcome.